When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E. And tonight, we got rid of Jay. We just got rid of him. He said, hey, I'm going on vacation up to Minnesota or Canada or somewhere. But don't worry, we replaced him with much better people. Just don't tell him I said that. We're joined tonight from Eerie Travels Podcast, Mark and Erica. Welcome, guys.
Oh, thank you for having us. Travelers.
Super excited. We just did this a couple weeks ago on your guys' show. And yep. Now we're flipping it over here, and we got a really fun topic. I know a little bit, just a tiniest bit of what we're going to talk about from last time. But it's one on our show we just don't get a lot of because it's just who we are. You know, we're definitely much more of the monster people. But we're going to talk about ghosts in general.
Well, I've got some ghosts, some monster ghosts that I'm going to bring up with this. So
see, I'm ready for this ride already.
I was saving these for you.
I cannot wait.
Of course you do, Mark. Of course you do. I love talking about. I have such a different philosophy when it comes to ghosts and what I think. And we talked about this a little bit,
yes. Justin.
But what do we think, quote unquote, ghosts are? Right? Because you touched on that a little bit on our. When we had you on, and I was like, we need to talk more.
Yes.
I know. And then Mark's like, let me tell you some stories about some ghosts that are also monsters. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
we just touched on it lightly because I do have an opinion on ghosts. Growing up in what you'd call a haunted house. Yeah. But I don't know. Do you want to start with that? Do you want to say what we think ghosts are before we get into some stories?
Okay. I would love to because Mark doesn't like definitively nailing this down. He loves to go into the camp of it's preternatural, which I do agree with. It is preternatural. It's something we don't know what it is. Shirley Jackson coined that term, but it is. But I have opinions because I think a lot of – anyway, I want you to go first, though.
Okay, yeah, it's fine. And for longtime listeners on our show, there's no stranger to my opinions on this subject. I don't believe in ghosts. By that, I fundamentally mean I do believe people's encounters with supernatural or spiritual things, where you grow up in a haunted house, you see figures, you know. What I mean by that is I do not believe human souls get trapped here on this plane. So I believe in like residual hauntings. That, to me, is more like a scar on the earth. There's nothing intelligent there, nothing what we'd call living or a soul there. It's normally like, and you guys know it, but for listeners at home, a lot of residual hauntings are like Civil War battlefields where cousins were killing cousins, brothers were killing brothers, and a lot of suicides, you know, and you see them react the last, most times like 20 minutes before whatever, or they died walking back from prom night on the road, you know, real tragic stuff with residual hauntings. They repeat these things over and over again. To me, I think it's, that's maybe more emotional energy that kind of leaves almost like a recording on the Earth's electromagnetic field that plays out all the time. With human-type ghosts or entities you talk to, I believe there's, I think that's a very complicated phenomenon with many different things happening in it. Just, I don't think they're human souls or old or dead humans. I think there's demons are a big part of it. That's been a thing on our show we've talked about a lot recently with possession stuff. And, you know, a lot of times the demons pretend to be dead little girls, or, you know, they pretend to be these things and they give you, feed you all this line of your bull and this information until you either agree or, you know, you go along with it a lot. And then the true colors start showing. And we did a Patreon episode called Electronic Voice Parrots, EVPs, where we kind of think there may be life in the Earth's electromagnetic sphere, the field that, you know, governs the Earth. And they may not understand us, but they may hear us and parrot back something. So literally like a parrot or, you know, some animals and birds that can mimic us. You know, they may not really understand fundamentally what they're saying, but they know the noise and they know they get a reaction out of you. And we even think some of those things may be draining batteries and even maybe draining our batteries. We are electric beings. You know, our whole meat suits run off electrical impulses. That's why we can be affected by electricity very easily. So that's a very generalized view of what I mean with ghost. I don't believe our human souls. I'm not saying we had a talk about this one night though. Guardian angels are your lost. I'm a Christian. Everybody that listens to our show knows. So I do believe my relatives are, most of them are in heaven or whatever. I think you can be visited by a loved one. I don't think that's a ghost per se though. Normally, you know, times of stress, hard times. My big difference is a lot of times if it's a true visitation from a deceased loved one, it's just a good feeling and they don't want anything. They don't want you to do anything. They're not asking of you of anything. Right. They're not making you feel any way except just maybe confident or proud or whatever. I had two examples of that growing up. My great-great-grandma, Catherine, died when I was young. At 90-something, she fudged her birth certificate, so we didn't know how old she was when she died. We assumed it was 90-something. But she wore a very, very distinct perfume. Several really good and bad times in my life. It was super weird. Instantly, the whole room smelled like it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just the sign of, hey, you know, I'm here with you. You know, I was very close to her when I was really little. So that's a very generalized view of my opinions on ghosts. But I believe all these people come on the show and share their encounters, these people that grew up in haunted, I do believe those things happen. I just don't think they're people doing it to people. We had a friend that we stayed at their house. We've stayed at their house many a time. Unfortunately, so it's the man married the woman. She has two girls in their teens. Their father was lost to cancer.
Mm.
But he came home to pass away. So they didn't tell me. I stayed in his room he passed away in. I didn't know that because they didn't tell me till after because some strange things has happened in there. So at the very end, and I had heard one thing. It was really, really weird. But at the end, I talked to the girls, and they're like, yeah, we think it's dad's ghost. He keeps pulling the covers off, and we hear him walking around and stuff like that. I looked at the girls, and I'm like, if you thought that was really your dad, and he could somehow come back, do you think he'd be spending this energy scaring you and doing these weird things? He loves you so much. You know, would he be doing these, like pulling the covers off beds and stuff like that? He'd be doing something to show you guys love. And then last time I talked to him, they prayed over the house and it all went away.
Hmm.
It was a very, and that's what we kind of talk about, I talk about is these things will take a hold of emotions and take any little foothold they can get into. And I 100% believe they mimic to an extent you know, a relative, a little kid, you know, it doesn't matter. Anything to get that emotional pull.
Yeah. There you go. All right, Erica.
Okay. So I slightly disagree with you on this.
Completely fine.
Yeah. But similar. So this is where I'm going to go. I don't necessarily believe in heaven or hell. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying I personally don't. I do believe in reincarnation, which still goes a whole like restart button, right? You're hitting the replay. So regardless, but I think just because of even scientific anomalies, there is a chance that somebody would not go up, down, or restart. Like whatever actually happens, right? It is entirely possible with the millions of souls that some don't, right? And maybe due to a trauma or something, get kind of stuck in whatever the situation was that occurred to them. However, with that said, I do very much believe there are things. I mean, Mark's going to talk about it because it's something we call a stone tape when it's a repeat ghost, when it's just doing the same exact action, no matter interaction, whatever you do, put a chair in the middle of the hallway, the thing still runs down the hallway, right? That's a, we call it a you know, it's like a replay ghost. It's not interacting. It's just redoing the thing, which could be emotion, whatever. I can see things get caught. However, I do believe in fae. Same. And I do believe that there's, whether it's all fae and there's good and bad, or if there's something else. I don't really love the term demonic. I don't have a better term, though, than demonic. But like an evil entity, I agree with you 100%. I think those things are out there. I do think that a lot of people tend to try to associate an identity to an interaction they have. And I jokingly say, I think ghosts cosplay all the time. Because if you look at a human soul, it doesn't have a substance necessarily, right? It's energy, it's whatever it is, right? But it's not like if you died as a young girl, that's you forever and ever and ever, right? It's so when people say they see Elvis ghosts everywhere, like I get maybe seeing him at Graceland where he died on a toilet, like I get that, right? But you can't say, well, we saw him in Vegas, whatever. Either this is the most like well-traveled ghost in the entire universe, or things are cosplaying as it. And you see something that looks like an Elvis apparition going down the hallway. So I always think, and it's kind of like the Lady in White. It's like the Lady in White to me is a phenomenon of some kind. It is not a specific person.
Right.
Because people see Lady in Whites all over the place that just have very similar characteristics, which is a woman usually walking along the side of the road near water or appearing wet, and everybody goes, oh, this was Donna because she lost her kids, or this is Sarah because of... No, the Lady in White, I think, is an absolute thing. I just don't know what it is, right? But cultures have seen her forever before we even had internet, books transporting back and forth, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's possible, though, that a human soul, as you put it, could get caught, but I don't think that's kind of those kind of ghosts to me are not the tricksters or whatever. Those are the ones that just are in the window or whatever. Like they kind of are stuck wherever the incident happened to them. That's why I feel like the hospitals give me the epic heebie-jeebies, because I think a lot of times people get trauma deaths in hospitals, you know what I mean? And are stuck because, and it could be a short period of time they're there or a long period. I don't think being stuck means you're stuck forever. I just think you hit a glitch in the matrix and then maybe later on it kind of swoops you back up to whatever happens after that, right? Like we had a listener tale that came in on our last listener tales where a person delivered mail at a retirement community, right? An old folks home. And he walked in, and I think it was a he or she. Sorry if I'm listening. But they walked in and there was an old woman who used to greet them about letters, and they were asked them, they went in and said, oh, no post for you today or whatever. And the person said, "You can see me?" And they were like, "Yeah, of course I can see you. Hope you have a great day. Leave." Come to find out, that person died the day before.
Hmm.
So they had an interaction. Now, they never saw this again. Nobody reported seeing it again. So I don't know if, for like that kind of instance, that person was temporarily
waiting on something to pick her up.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know how that works because, you know, luckily I haven't died. So I don't know how that works, at least this time around.
Right.
But that, like, those kind of stories, I go, yeah, I think that was that person. There was no ill intent. There was confusion on that, whatever. Like, you can see me? Because obviously, whatever they were interacting with couldn't see them up until that person was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You don't have any letters. Out the door. And then the next day to find out they were dead the day before. Like, so, I mean, that's where I go, maybe they can get stuck.
Hmm? Like nobody knows. Nobody knows. And it's always because it's, you know, it's one of those great mysteries. And I'm a big Fae person. I believe a lot of the Fae. I think the Fae have their hands in a lot of pots when it comes to the paranormal and supernatural and even cryptozoological. I think some of our weird one-offs, we did a big thing on like Fae legends from around the world. And that's the word we used. But the like a lot of the African tribes have their own version of a fae-like being. You know, the Native Americans have a lot of fae, and even Asia and Africa and Australia has a lot of fae legends. And they're very much like a lot of times they'll talk about is they'll put on the face that they think you want them to have,
right?
And that's a weird thing where you subconsciously may be putting on the face with them. Was it Whitley Strieber's house that always had the aliens visiting?
Yeah, they had the aliens, and that was eventually he started saying maybe it wasn't aliens, it was...
Yeah, because they would change. They would react and change because his one director friend staying the night was like walking to pee in the middle of the night, hadn't seen any of the aliens, been there for 3 days, walks around the corner and sees a gray, and he's like, huh, and gets kind of scared, and then the gray transforms into like a big hawk-headed beast and starts screeching, so he runs away, and that's what Whitley said is... Well, because you put fear out there, so it became a scary thing because it thought that's what you wanted it to be. But no, like none of us know. But it's all fascinating.
For me, it was when I was doing the research. I've been running a haunted house for 2 decades and collecting stories. I was into ghosts way, way back when I was a kid. You know, when I was a teenager, I had a weird house. My earliest childhood memory was seeing some sort of shadow figure in an attic of my home in Dayton, Ohio. And then I passed out. Next, I know my mom's holding me and carrying me away going, oh, no, 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 no. And she would never talk about it ever. And so that drew me into all this. But, you know, as I'm a kid, around 10, 12 years old in West Virginia, I'm drawn to the paranormal section of the library. And I'm reading every Hans Holzer book I can get my hands on. And then, oh, there's his address. Well, I'll write his publisher. They sent a letter to him. I got a letter back. Next thing I know, I got Hans Holzer's address. And then he's telling me, oh, you should talk to these guys, the Warrens. They're over near you. And so I wrote them and went to their house one time. My dad was vice president for Greyhound, so he took me wherever. He could write off every trip we went on. And, and he dropped me off at this weird old couple's house and said, yeah, go have fun. I'm like, I want to learn about the Enfield poltergeist. That's like my dream case and all this. And they showed me the music box, and I didn't care. There was this weird Raggedy Ann doll in a weird case. I didn't give a crap about that. I didn't care. I didn't know any of these stories. I just knew certain ones. But as I got older, you know, became a dad, ran my own haunted house using all those stories I collected and all that. But what I started really getting into the heavy side of things, right? Started really doing the research. My mother was going through dementia. We went to the hospice care that she was in. And I would start talking to the hospice nurses all the time because they all had so many ghost stories because they knew I ran the haunted house. They were like, oh, I got a ghost story for you. And every one of them had a ghost story for me or something. And every one of them said, they became believers after being hospice nurses.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many unexplained things happened. They're not allowed to go public with it because they'd get fired and removed from work and all that. And plus, not every family wants to hear that, you know, grandma hung around for 2 weeks after she passed away and all that. But that was what changed it for me, where I was like, okay, I was like you guys, I think it's energy, it's stuck, it's all this, it just doesn't make sense. But I do think it is a consciousness that stays a little while. Some are stronger than others. Some people have stronger wills than others. So some people, yeah, they don't want to go. They're here and they're willing to keep doing things. Now, the repetition ghosts, the stone tapes, the residual hauntings, yes, that 100% is a phenomena. It's not a ghost. It's something that is just being interactive with. And sometimes they interact physically. That's the poltergeist phenomena and stuff like that, where it's just lashing out. It doesn't make sense. And I think if we were able to study this a little better, I think some of it might. We might have patterns. We might be able to figure these things out. But in the meantime, yeah, it's just it's a phenomena we don't understand. And I think this with the consciousness and all that, yeah, I think there's something to it. I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert on anything. I am a studier like everybody. I just read and interview people and try to get the story. I want the story. I'm a storyteller. And so that's what I want. And these people are telling stories. And yeah. And I think that's part of it, is after they die, they've got a story to tell. They've got one more thing that they just want to get out. I'm not that, oh, I've got to get closure, all that. I think they just want somebody to listen. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And I think, again, because we don't know, like, we did an episode on invisible friends, right? And I don't call them imaginary friends. I call them invisible friends because I had one as a kid and I knew a ton of kids that had invisible friends, right? And like, I just watched the movie If, and it was adorable, but I was sitting there going,
don't spoil it because it's funny you mentioned this.
Spoil it. It is very well done, though. I will say that.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. But I think like every kid that I've talked to for the most part about their invisible, and I did a ton of nannying and babysitting and, you know, things like that. It was never a big furry whatever, right? It was never like a fluffy unicorn was their invisible friend. It was a person that they could describe, right? And I met several, and one of them I talked about on our show, but that kid described how their invisible friend had these burns on them and all this stuff. And I asked the kid to ask it what happened, and they described it. It was in the newspaper, this accident that they were describing, right? And the family died, and the kid died, and blah, blah, blah. But this, I think the kid was 5 years old, 5 or 6. There's no way this kid, having to do with this family. This is back in the 80s, by the way. So this wasn't like an internet thing or he saw his mom watching it on, TikTok. Like this was, a thing. And I just went, well, that's interesting because told the whole story of the crash, but told it from a younger person's perspective, right? My whole family died. I died. It was a crash. And so I thought it was interesting because you go, okay, then what's that? Like, what is that? Because there's no reason this kid, it's not related to them. It's not their sister trying to tell them something. You know what I mean? Like, it's this separate, I couldn't see it. But they could clearly tell me where they were in that entire situation. Now, I feel like I have a lot of empathy for the energy changing in places. Like there are places I won't go into because like we drove up to, what was it? Waverly
Hills.
Yeah. Oh, like I felt it. We got up there and I'm like, nope, no, I'm not mentally prepared to go into this place right now. Like I felt it when I got there and I was like, let's turn around. It got very heavy.
Yeah.
And not like, oh my God. But like I could, and I've had that when I've gone into places, where I feel the energy and I go, wow, there's a lot of negative attention here. There's a lot of negative energy. And you go, what the hell does that stir up when you have all of that coalescing in one location, right? intention, fear, whatever, fear mongers. Like, so
No, that's like, sorry.
Fear mongers a thing that we've discussed quite a bit. That's we think that's, like you said, something that feeds on energy, feeds on negative energy. And it was my old haunted house that I ran. We had people coming through. We had 10,000 people a weekend coming through my backyard, getting scared every October. And we ran it in St. Petersburg, RIP Hellview Cemetery. But when we were running it, weird stuff would happen in the haunt, which is my backyard. And we didn't think much of it because it was just, that was just the way things were. And we've all knew strange things happen, but we had a psychic come through one day and said, "Do you guys realize you have a fear monger in your backyard?" And I was like, "What's that?" It feeds on all this fear and it makes things scarier. It's making apparitions. It's making things show up. It's like an elemental force.
I was just about to say, we've done a lot of episodes on elementals on Patreon. And go on. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, that's exactly what this was. This was basically that. I'd never heard of it. And I only knew Hate Monger, who was like a obscure Captain America villain. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. And so we started looking into it and it was like, okay, yeah, this makes a lot of sense about some of the weird stuff we'd seen and some of the weird stuff we'd heard. And then I was like, ooh, do I have to pay this thing? Cause it's making my haunted house better.
They're like a tick. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger. The more they're like batteries, essentially, like just stealing energy. Yep.
But it was affecting his kids, and he didn't know.
And I didn't know. They weren't talking about it. They weren't telling me. And
they get worse and worse and worse, the bigger and bigger and bigger they get. We've talked a lot about elementals, and I don't think elementals are good, bad, and different. I think they're much more animalistic, where that's just their food source. They're going to create the best environment to feed. And so that's making people, like you said, making apparitions, making people scared, attacking your kids, whatever, psychologically. And that's making a better environment to feed on that food source. You know, beavers do it. We do, you know, all these animals will change their environment around to better feeding grounds.
Yeah, I think that explains a lot of those ghosts that don't make sense, like historically. As a historian and a storyteller, I want to know the story behind these things. And it's like, why does this place have a clown ghost? There was never a clown anywhere I can find documented.
Because it's scary.
Yeah, but that's just it. I think it's somebody's terrified of clowns. This thing's going to make a clown appear, and it's gonna terrify them. And then that thing gets to num, 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 eat up all that adrenaline and all that energy that's being produced.
And then, like you guys are talking about with the feelings of places. I'm famous for, I don't go in because I'll feel it. Like if it feels like that, I'll hang outside. I'll go back into the car. Here's the, that's
good. Me and Justin are partners in the Nope Club. Like, absolutely not. I'll walk up and go, nope, not going in here. Thank you.
Yep. And I'll go sit in the car and have a couple beers and wait for everybody to be done.
Only happened to me at one place, and that was a trestle bridge in Tampa. It was so funny because my wife, Carrie, is complete opposite of anything. She is completely ghost lodestone. Nothing paranormal, nothing anything, just like blinders on. It just doesn't affect her. She just is like kryptonite for that stuff. In fact, when we take YouTubers to places and stuff like that into haunted locations, she'll purposely stay outside because she doesn't want to spoil anything they might get and stuff like that. We were at this one trestle bridge that's an important monster legend in Tampa that I was writing for a book. And I'm like, all right, I got to go up on the bridge and get a picture. I'm just going to stand next to it. I'm not going on the bridge. Don't go on a trestle bridge, gang. They're active and you can die. There's a reason people have died looking for the Popolik monster.
Every two years, somebody dies from a train.
Yep. But you can go take pictures close.
You can go right under it. There's a parking lot right under the thing.
Yeah, right there. There's a path right there that you can go to and get some great shots. But that was at Tampa. I was walking up to this trestle bridge and every fiber of my being was just like, nope, you're done. You were standing right here. It was like a panic attack almost.
Yeah.
And And that was it. I was done. And then Carrie went up and took some pictures. we used those in the book.
So we've had listeners ask, do you think that place is really haunted on several different locations? And I always tell them, if you see a picture of me in there, the answer is no. if you just see pictures of Jay in there, then it may be.
I can get Erica inside, like, the front door some places, like the mushroom mine. We got into mushroom mines, but that was it.
Mushroom mines was not haunting. That wasn't my fear. We walk in. He told me about the mushroom mines, kind of. We walk into it. First of all, I'm wearing flip-flops, right? We have a torch, and we're walking in, and he goes, yeah, like, there's been at least 6 people who've been found dead in this place. And I'm like, what? And then he's like, yeah, you know, it's a great place to dump bodies. And there are homeless people and different people that hide out here. And I'm like, no, we're turning around. I'm not doing this without a weapon. I'm going in armed. Like,
there's different reasons not to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to his point, like, when we went to Waverly, I was like, he was like, oh, it's on the way. We'll just stop on, because we were going to Hodag. So it was like kind of on the way. And we're pulling up, and I was like, I have to mentally prepare myself. I have my own things I do for my protection to go into places mm-hmm. like that. But I'm not just like, oh, there's this cool haunted house. Let's go. No.
Yeah, no. We just left Popelick. And so we're like, oh, let's just go around. I'm like, it's 15 minutes out of the way. We'll just go up. We'll go up to the gate. We'll get some pictures. And she was done.
Popelick, he told me about, I was prepared for that. There is negativity around that. But I think that's because there's been so many idiots killing themselves, basically, trying to find this monster. And I'm sorry. I hope nobody... But if you're dumb enough to go climb up, I've been there, so I can say this, climb up there and walk across an active train track looking for this creature, you're,
there's problems there.
The gene pool by getting hit and knocked off.
A lot of the problem is kids with that area.
Yeah.
Because kids dare each other. You know, we all, me as a kid, we did dumb things. It's just, you don't think, you don't realize consequence.
You think you're invulnerable.
Yeah.
You think you can do anything. That's, you know, that's where legend dripping comes from. And that's the core of Eerie Travels is places to go and do things. And that's one of the reasons why we're very specific about places. When we put in our books, when we put in the podcast, it's all places that are okay to go. We don't put any private property. We don't put anything that is unsafe. And if we do have anything that's like, okay, this is questionable, we put, this is questionable, this is what you need to do this, and be ready. You know, this is not for the faint of heart. And you know, we're not young chickens anymore. So it's one of those.
I'm on a train.
I'm a 50 plus year old epileptic. I don't go to a lot of places anymore. I used to.
go ahead.
So have you guys ever heard of the University of Chicago's ghost they made?
Oh, the was it the Philip experiment?
Yes.
Where they the tulpa.
Essentially. The tulpa. Well, I think it's more like we talked about already with these things cosplaying.
Yeah.
Is that these things just exist. Some, you know, and like I said, I'm a big believer that the ghost phenomenon is many different things that it's fallen under the, mm-hmm. it's the same umbrella as whatever that term is. So one, I think like we've all talked about tonight, one of those things is like you said, the things that cosplay are, that, but for all the listeners that may not know, basically University of Chicago, and I believe it was the University of Chicago. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It happens.
It was either Chicago or Duke.
It was in Chicago. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, that was where they did it. Yeah.
When I worked in Chicago, we were like 3 blocks from where they did the experiment. But they took like a brand new building, had no history of anything, nobody dying, nothing like that. They brought in, before they did the experiment, like 3 or 4 prominent ghost research teams, and they said, yeah, there's nothing here, whatever. Then they made up a legend with just a couple details. It was Philip, right?
Yeah, Philip. Yeah. And they gave him, like, he died in such and such a day. And,
yeah.
And he was killed by this. And, you know, he had a family. They had his family details. Just some basics.
Real basic.
And then they had, yeah.
And then it started. Then other paranormal researchers started getting added on to the legend. But the problem with that is that other paranormal groups after that were getting the same information without the publishing from the previous group. Yep. So whatever was there was either making up its own information, or when people would telephone, it would save that data and then spit it back out to the next crew. Very interesting. Oh, hit the mic. Very interesting how those some of those things can occur like that.
Well, yep. And that's why I think, like, you know, we did an episode on The Conjuring House. I'm not going down that rabbit hole. I want to talk about the in general, right? Is people say there's a this there and there's a that there. And, you know, my, you know, I said this because we were on an episode with RPG and I said, take me somewhere, but take me somewhere and don't tell me what everyone else has said is there. Because I think inherently, no matter how hard we try, we have that. We have that intention and we're not necessarily projecting it, but you go, okay, there's a ghost that likes to pull your hair in here. You know what I mean? You're then almost going, inviting it to pull your hair because you've now got that thought in your head. And I think that what then happens is any experience, it's like the known versus the unknown. Like, when you go to ride a ride for the first time, it seems an amusement park. It seems so super fast. And there's so many things, right? Because you're not prepared for whatever is happening to you. But then the next time you ride it, you get to enjoy it a little more and see more of the things because you're not focused. But if I tell you on the ride, hey, halfway through the ride, there's going to be a big drop. That takes some of the what you would have experienced from that drop away because you're anticipating that drop occurring, right? So I think there's a lot of that. And then, you know, Mark said Tulpa, I really firmly believe that you can put enough intention that something wicked is here and then you're feeding into whatever this thing is. And it's like, feed me. And not just fear, but like, creating this thing. So you walk into a place, or like for us, we feel it and go, yeah, no. Cause like Mark, and I'm going to bring it up, which is going to surprise everybody, but here we go. May Stringer. Okay. Just ease down. Okay. I've been on a private tour of the May Stringer house as well. My friends wanted to do a paranormal thing there. This is a bazillion years ago. But I was in there and I was like, before I walked up to it, I didn't know anything about it. My friend's like, it's a haunted house, but no details. I start going towards it. And sometimes I feel the same way you do, where I'm like, there is nothing here. I don't know what you're talking about. This, I was like, this is interesting. There is something here, right? Went in there, had my own experiences, but it was like, I knew I was going to a place they said was haunted. I was prepared to do that. I could tell you there was something there. Now they go, it's the little kid ghost. They definitely have something that's cosplaying as a child because people bring it toys and it plays with the toys. It likes the toys. They hear little kid laughter, blah, 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 little kid footsteps. I'm like, okay, Jesse May, I think, is who they say it yep. is, right? But it's a great story, a little kid ghost. But I've seen the video, Mark's video, because he took a couple YouTubers. There's something definitely in the attic that has zero interest in other people being up there.
Yep. It's the minute you get there, it's time to go. You know, they even call him Mr. Nasty up there. The May Stringer House is in Brooksville, Florida, and it is the Hernando County Historical Society home. So it's a museum during the week. So you can go anytime and see that place, but they do book ghost tours because it helps save these places. That's one of the things. A lot of people get upset. Places charge admission, like Waverly and Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum and East State Penitentiary, all this. Hey,
how else are they going to keep the lights on?
Pay us money and you can come. Yeah, pay us money, you can come ghost hunt. That, I think, is great if you realize you're helping keep that place maintained, and so it's not going to disappear into, you know, bulldozed pile of toothpicks in about
it's happening
years.
To many buildings and yep.
Yeah, but there are so many that are just gone now because nobody took care of them, and some of them are deteriorating. Even the ones like that are having portions of them bulldozed and stuff. We were just at Brushy Mountain Penitentiary out here in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, and it's only been abandoned for like 20 years and it's fallen apart. So they're doing ghost tours now to try to restore bits of it so that at least it can be preserved historically. And but the Maestringer House, oh my gosh, it's kind of a bucket list place for a lot of places because everybody's gotten something from there. There's several supposed entities, but that's the one up in that attic. He delivers. So that's all I can say is he delivers.
Yeah.
Fascinating. No, it's yeah. But DeMarc, do you have any? I want to hear these all monster right. ghosts.
You want to hear a monster ghost? I was waiting for that. So I figured we get the basics out. I'm super. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me how you would describe this one, right? Okay. So there's a place in the panhandle of Florida, and it's between Fort Walton Beach and Destin.
Okay.
There's a big bridge that goes across. This is in the panhandle area. Folks at home and the Redneck Riviera. But you go up there and the story goes that if you go there on select nights, now I've heard several different versions. You go on a full moon. You go on like the first Thursday of a month or the third Thursday of a month. It's always something weird like that, right? I love these legends like that. But if you go there, and you stand at that bridge. There used to be a land bridge there, but it's long since sunk into the Gulf of Mexico. But if you're there late at night, you will see a pack of wolves. Not a lot of wolves in Florida, not anymore anyway. And you will see them run across what used to be the land bridge, which is now water. And you will see them glowing as they run across the top, like a white glow, like a phosphorus glow. And now we went there because we'd heard all these legends and everything. And this is, we're writing our book, Eerie Florida. And I'm like, all right, let's go there with, I took my wife and we get there and I'm like, we're there on a full moon night. So I'm like, all right, let's do this. And there were dozens of people lined across the bridge at like midnight. And I'm like, oh, is there some sort of boat parade or is there something going on? And I got up there and I said, hey, what's everybody looking for? And they're like, oh, we're looking for the wolves. I thought we were the only people in the world who even knew that legend. I thought it was this forgotten bit of Florida folklore history. And every one of them were like, oh, I saw it when I was a kid. Oh, I saw it 6 months ago. I saw it a few weeks ago. I saw them, you know, and one's like, as he ran across the water, the lead wolf looked up at me and those eyes latched onto me and I still see them every night in my sleep. So I come here to experience it again. And have you seen him recently? Nope. Yeah. Have you been here every full moon? And they're like, yeah, I've been here every full moon. I haven't seen it. But then another guy was telling me, oh no, it's, you know, you got to come on Thursdays. And that guy was like, oh, okay. And it was just so great to see this community up there and they were all talking wide open. This was 2013 and they're all just still doing it. And it's like, okay. And that guy was like, no wonder it's always more crowded on full moons. Everybody thinks it's the full moon. No, it's the third Thursday of the month and all this. And it's like, well, which month? And you know, is it always, yeah, it was a fun debate we had. We never saw the wolves, but so many people saw it and had that experience. Now, residual, right? Doesn't sound like, but the one guy said, you know, it looked at him.
Yeah.
So it had some sort of energy transference there. So I love that story. And it's just one of those. So a ghostly wolf pack that.
Okay. Is, you know, I just want to say, I feel like this thing probably travels just the circumference of the world and maybe changes animals that it becomes as it goes around. Like,
there you go. Okay.
Maybe it has a pattern and it's like, let me just do this. Cause like you look at something like that, right? And you go, what would start that? Like where, first of all, Florida is not, even old timey, was not known for wolves. Wolves are not a thing generally that far south, right? A pack of wolves along the coastline of Florida. I'm not saying they can't be anywhere, but
They have a native red wolf?
They had a red wolf, especially I think the Spanish were the ones that marked it. You know, when the conquistadors were hitting that area, they were marking them down a lot. But and they were hunting them because they wanted the belt.
They wiped them out fast. Yeah, yeah, they haven't been around for a while, but that to me it's.
But they run where the land bridges. What caused that?
I know what caused it. Red wolves running across the land bridge 10,000 years ago. Lightning struck at midnight on the full moon. Ooh, and traps their essence there.
Yep.
I don't know. No, it's fast. I love it. I love the community that popped up.
Yeah, I love that there's this group that goes all the time. And, you know, at the time, they were all strangers and just standing at different points on the bridge. And then because I asked every one of them questions, they all started gathering and following me.
Oh, everybody else is here, huh?
Yeah.
No,
I'm not crazy. You know, that was the thing. They were like, I'm not crazy. I saw this. And that was when I started going, okay, it's okay to ask. It's okay to talk to these people and get their stories because now they're sharing it. And now they have a group that meets on Facebook and they go out there. Hey, gang, if you're listening, you know, we still talk about you.
I would get drunk and go watch for the wolves at midnight.
Yeah. Hey, it's a beautiful place too. It just, you know, don't go there during hurricane season, but the rest of the time it's fine.
Though I love it. I really don't know what that's awesome.
Yeah.
It is. And so like there's another story Mark tells about a ghost horse, right? And this is
I was gonna do that one next. Yeah.
Okay. Tell the story. But this leads me down another whole train of thought. So Mark,
this one's kind of a complicated story, but I'll summarize here. This is in Ocala, which is a town known for horses. It's in the middle of Florida again. I did 30 years in Florida gang. So the bulk of my stories are Florida stories. I'm just now doing Appalachia, but this one was, there's a lady who wrote a book about a family there. And she pretended that it was like elsewhere and didn't want anybody to know about it. The book's called The Tragedies of Oakhurst. And she was writing about a place there called the Oakhurst Plantation. Now the Oakhurst Plantation was supposedly cursed over the years because of many, many things. And one of the things was the telling of that legend was before something bad would happen, this phantom white stallion would show up and then something terrible would happen. Now, it started with a young lady in white on her way to a marriage. And of course she's going to get married at the Oakhurst Plantation. And this strange stallion shows up, startles her horse, throws her. She breaks her neck, dead instantly. They went to chase the horse. It disappears. Nobody can catch it. It's that fast. That's the first major story. But in the lady who wrote the book, she studied all the historical times this thing appeared. Now, it's a fiction book. Like I said, she changed the names. She set it in a completely different state, all that. So the book comes out. People start realizing who it is they're writing about and the real story behind all this. So these prominent families in Ocala start buying every copy of the book they can to destroy them. So it becomes this kind of long lost book. It's very hard to get, but thankfully it's available. There's a few public domain copies on the internet of scanned copies. Otherwise, trying to buy one's ungodly expensive. But anyway, Oakhurst Plantation, that ghost is seen for decades after that, over and over. The whole town of Ocala burns down at one point in the late 1890s. That ghost horse was seen galloping through the town before that, all that. Plantation's gone. Everything's gone. The corner of Oakhurst Road is now an apartment complex, and across from it is a nursing home. The nurses in that nursing home tell me that they know somebody's going to die one night when they hear the galloping.
Wow.
That's what they know, they're going to lose someone. And people in that apartment complex have seen that horse before apartment fires, before robberies, before other bad things that best left unsaid on a family-friendly show. They've all seen that horse. There's reports. There's police reports where they've gone looking for a white horse that was supposedly in the Alouse in this area. And then the next night, something terrible happens in that place. So I'm residual again. Well, but
I actually have a thought that's a little different on this, right? So we've had stories, and I don't know, I'm assuming, Justin, you guys have had some of these stories too, where you talk about people who, and I'm going to use the word magic because I don't know another word to associate to what I'm trying to say, right? But there are a lot of religious backgrounds that involve invoking spirits, elders, elementals, whatever. Like you go back to, for instance, I'm Nordic, right? I'm Irish descent. Like they have stuff. The Scotsmen have things. Like you talked about Africa. Africa has that. Like many, many cultures at their beginnings have this kind of thing. And I just go, you're taking a plantation that obviously probably brought people against their will to be a part of it, right? Because that's what we did
back
then. The
word plantation doesn't really strike equality.
No,
it does not strike equality. But you just kind of go, and this is intention. We talk a lot about intention. Did something, symbolism, get brought into being that placed there? And I think a lot of times people don't go, hey, you're here for this very specific purpose, and after that purpose elapses, you're gone, right? Because they're very nebulous purposes. And a lot of times I feel like these things are done not with emotion and not with logic behind them. Like we talk about the Boone Devil, which is up in, I think, Kentucky, right?
Where the legend is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is supposedly summoned by Native Americans to get rid of white men settlers who were coming through that time. Well, guess what? It didn't accomplish all of that goal, but it didn't go away either, because obviously it didn't finish whatever it was meant to do, right? So I kind of wonder if something like that is not a ghost horse, right? But brought by one of these sort of situations of enough intention to go topa, like, hey, and it is a harbinger of doom.
So we did an episode. You really just reminded me about this. We did my haunting on Patreon, but we talked a lot about, we called them spiritual bulldogs. And it's just what you were just saying, where they aren't maybe intelligent or unintelligent. We don't really know, but people bind them for purposes. And then, like you said, the people that did that are now dead. The bulldog doesn't know that. It doesn't care. It may not care, right? It has a goal or a purpose or a thing it's supposed to do. So it just keeps doing that thing. Now, that's very fast. Yeah. And I wonder how many of these could be those things. I mean, we've had people on the planet for a while. Yep. And I'm going to assume people have been doing that kind of thing for a long time. So how many of these weird one-off like holographic things are these? What I always use the word bulldog because that's just kind of what they, like a junkyard dog. You know, they're often really scary or harbingers or, you know. But the junkyard dog doesn't know it's doing anything wrong. It's just doing. It's just biting.
It's like a church grim or a cemetery grim where to protect the cemetery or to protect the new church, they basically sacrifice an animal to it, because usually most graveyards are from when the patriarch of the family dies or the first man is lost in war or something like that. So they know the soldier will guard the graveyard. That's why The Frighteners is such a great movie, where they got old Arlie Ermey playing the ghost. I will protect this graveyard. I love that. But they would do that. They would bury animals to protect the grave. We can't, sister Aunt, Aunt Jude is very sick. Uh-oh, we're going to need a new plot of graves. Oh, we better kill that dog over there so he knows to protect it. So, which is crazy, but that's a very Scottish, Irish, Germanic. It's all over the place, and we brought it here to us, and that's why we see it all over Appalachia. We see it all over the United States. So,
Ahead.
I was going to say, you go to the Fae, who then go, "Hey, I got an idea. Look at what they're doing. I can be a dog."
When in doubt, it's the Fae.
Yeah.
You know, but Pirates did a similar thing with slaves, I believe, where they would sacrifice, they'd essentially either kill the guy down there with the treasure, or they would start burying him while he was still alive, so his spirit would forever be attached to that treasure, and whatever ritual or rites they would do, they were the only ones that could basically unlock that when they came back. So, like we're talking about, you know, they set they used a human, but they set a human there against their will, but you know, the ritual doesn't, it doesn't really matter if they're willing to be there or not. Yeah. And they're the only ones that when they come back can, that can unlock say that.
Say the right words or do the right sign or whatever. That stuff is fascinating to me and all that. So, okay. I got one more for you.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. How about the ghost of a Bigfoot?
Oh my gosh. I love it.
You ready?
Yes.
Yeah, save this for you. Okay. I know you're probably familiar with the story of the Ochizi Pond wild man. Do you know this one?
Now it's on my head.
North Florida. Okay. North Florida. This is pretty famous because what happened was there was a town in Florida on the Ochizi Pond, and they were having problems with a wild man. He was taking stuff from the clothesline. He was taking fruit. He was taking food. He was, you know, stealing their meat that was hanging and all this. And they were like, we're done. We're putting a posse out. So they send a posse out into the swamps of Florida, of North Florida, and they caught it. They caught the skunk ape. And they bring it back to town. Now, they don't know what to do with this thing. It's 8 foot tall. It's covered in hair. And they've wounded it with a bullet in its leg. And what do we do with it? So they're like, send it to the governor in Tallahassee. That's not too far. So they put it in a cage on the back of a stagecoach to take it to Tallahassee, because the stagecoach comes through. It's the only reason Ochizi Pond exists, is it's a watering stop for the stagecoach to get to Tallahassee from St. Augustine. And they send it to the governor. And I love the illustration from the newspaper. It basically looks like, imagine if you can, one of those U-Hauls trailers behind a stagecoach with King Kong standing like where only half of him is in the cage and the top half is breaking out. And then these two guys with like muskets aiming at him. It's probably just one of those great, crazy illustrations of the papers of the day, right? So it gets to the governor. Governor of Florida says, I don't know what the hell to do with this. Send it to the mental asylum. So they send it to the Florida Home for the Insane, which is not just outside of Tallahassee. And there we have the records of it being accepted as the Ochizi Pond wild man. They schedule it for being shaved. And then that next day, it's dead. All right. We have the record of it dying in captivity. That's all we've got. We know it was buried in the pauper's grave out there at the time. Now, the problem is the pauper's grave is now under the Florida hospital, the Florida State Hospital that was built over pauper's graveyard number one. And no one knows if any of the bodies were moved. If they were, they were shoveled into a pile and, you know, dumped. Who knows? So there's no DNA testing on any of this or anything like that. There, our good friend Stacy Brown, Finding Bigfoot, he just did a amazing project called Bigfoot Journey to Belief. And he did he went down the same rabbit hole I did on this, where I went Federal Freedom of Information Act. I was trying to get the governor's diaries for that day. I was trying to get all this stuff. We've got it down. You can get every document you want from the week of that happening from the governor. That day, there's nothing. There is no documents whatsoever from that day. Stacey Brown hit the same, you know, dead end we did with it. But now here's the why we're talking about it on a ghost, right? Ochizi Pond, we got rid of the thing. No problem. A few years later, they see it again. This time, it almost looks like what we would describe now as like a photo negative, a colorless version of it that they can see through as it still roams the swamp of the area. It's seen again and again and again. It's almost Jeepers Creepers. About every 20 years, it shows back up. And it's seen by somebody who doesn't know the story, who's never heard of the Ochizi Palm Wild Man. And they go, oh my God, I saw a Bigfoot, but it was green and covered in, it like glowed like Scooby-Doo. It was weird. And, you know, and another story was where it was white and like phosphorescent. And they were like, what, who's wearing a ghillie suit, with white lights on them and stuff like that. So this ghostly Bigfoot, right, is seen over and over and over again in that same area of Ochizi Pond, Florida. So my thought is with this, what, you know, everybody's like, oh, why aren't there any ghosts? They're always from the Victorian era, Civil War, all this. And, you know, somebody's like, why aren't there any young ghosts? Why aren't there any this? What if the reason we can't catch Bigfoot and the reason we can't see them is, what if they're the ghosts of cavemen?
So I've had that thought.
Yeah.
But that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Why you can be right there, you can hear them, smell them, see them. Like poltergeist, we talked about that. Tons and tons of Bigfoot encounters, if they happened in a house, you'd call them poltergeist.
Right.
Stuff getting thrown, knocking, smells, you know, all that stuff.
Weird noises.
Yeah.
Strange humming. You know, you're feeling dizzy suddenly. You know, it's all this. That's the same phenomena. And I'll
never get over they shaved a Bigfoot.
They shaved a Bigfoot and killed him.
I know what. What year did you say this was?
This is like 1880s or 1860s. Sorry, 1860s.
So you know what the knockout drug? Because they had to knock it out to shave it.
Oh yeah, it was laudanum or something like that. It was either laudanum or
it's not morphine. Great. It's that and liquor. They probably gave him both. They probably dumped bottles of whiskey down this 8 foot tall guy.
Yep.
I love that.
I love the image of him just in the U-Haul type thing on the back of a stagecoach.
I love the idea of these nurses sitting there either with a drunk Bigfoot or a knocked out Bigfoot from drugs shaving this thing.
And yeah, they're like, he doesn't have a neck. He doesn't have a neck, but all right, well, we got to shave him.
You know, the governor says we have to do this.
Yeah. So the governor said, do it. So we're doing it.
But that goes, okay, well, what is that? It's roaming around. It's doing its protection thing, probably of whatever area, you know? So you just go like, cause there are some stories of ghosts that are doing, you know, you kind of go, they had some sort of service or duty in life, and this is what they need to do. Could they not disassociate with that identity? And they're still doing that same, whatever that protective thing is, right? Like, there's so many variations, but I'm just glad we're best buddies when it comes to not going in. So, those watching, for those when the Cryptids of the Corn and the Eerie Travels teams are together, if you see Eric and Justin sitting outside,
that's a haunted place.
To go in that damn house, right?
Yeah, no, that's been my favorite quote. Is Justin, is that place really haunted? Have you seen me inside it? Probably not.
Yeah.
No, thank you guys. This has been amazing. I've loved the talk. Well, I cannot believe I forgot to do this at the beginning. But make sure you give everybody where they can listen to your show. And like always, guys, all the show links will be down below for these guys. Please check them out. If you like our show, you're going to like their show. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, please self-promote.
Yeah, we're eerietravels.com, and that's where you can find us. Eric and I have our own channel there. We it links to all the places, but you can find us on any podcast platform, the usual suspects. Just look up Eerie Travels. You'll find us. We're twice a week, just like these guys. And we do Myths, Monsters, Legends, Dark History, and we tell you where to go and how to experience them yourself. And then we also do some pop culture stuff and all that. We have some hot takes that have gotten us into some trouble.
he's talking about me, not anybody else. But yeah, you can also find us on YouTube. But yeah, thank you so much for having us. It is really awesome to just be part of this community and all of this, because you know, we all have different takes and different
100%
perceptions of these things. And I am really excited at some point to have enough people stop being ashamed of it and being weird about it to actually start figuring out what some of this stuff is. But then there's part of me that goes, maybe I don't want to know.
The chase is half the fun.
Yeah.
I think it's happening all the time. I mean, just think of Bigfoot 20 years ago versus Bigfoot now.
Yep.
You know,
and same with ghosts. I mean, look at Discovery Channel when it first came out. It was basically PBS nature documentaries. And now look at Discovery Channel now. It's 99%
aliens.
Ghost shows and aliens, right? There is nothing. And same with History Channel. Same with all of them.
I was thinking like, history because just aliens. Yeah. History aliens, at 10 p.m. is completely different than history at 11 p.m.
I mean, remember the shows are shows. And 100%. History and reality are different, but 100%. At least it's got eyes on the prize. And that's
people are talking about
it. I didn't think in my lifetime we'd ever have UFO hearings in front of Congress again.
No,
about Project Blue Book shut down. That was it.
So we have a tradition to end this on the show. I'm going to count down from three. We're all going to scream by as loud as we can, and then the outro will play. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
That's our line first, though.
Go ahead.
We'll see you on the other side. Okay.
3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crib is the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Question for you.
Would you rather pay $150 a month
or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.